Hello, awesome humans, and welcome to today's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. I'm Natalie, your host, and I'm so grateful that you're here. As a quick reminder, we record this podcast with a live virtual audience, so you will hear me respond to comments and questions throughout. If you'd like to join our live audience, I would love it. You can go to nataliecogan.com to see the schedule of upcoming shows and to sign up. Now, before we dive into today's topic, just take a deep breath to arrive in this moment right now. This time is for you, and I hope you find this episode really valuable. Hello, awesome humans. Welcome to the Awesome Human Podcast. If you're here with us live on Zoom or on Facebook, or if you're listening as a podcast in the future or watching the recording, welcome. Whatever time, space, reality you're in, you're here with us in spirit. I am so excited about our episode today. We have an amazing special guest joining us in a few minutes, Alicia Reiner, who is an awesome human in so many ways. I'm going to see how much we can fit into a conversation with her in an hour. We're going to be talking about being a force of good in the world, even when things in the world are challenging. And Alicia is such an amazing person to talk about that. I can't wait for all of you to meet her. But in the meantime, as we always do, as we gather, whoa, we have floods of people coming in. I'm just going to put my chat on so I can see all of you. If you've been joining us, if you've been joining the podcast or the podcast live with me for a while, you know we always begin the same way. And I ask you to pause whatever you're doing. If you're driving and listening, please keep driving. Please don't be pausing. And take a moment to begin this chapter of your day, whenever you're listening to this, by appreciating something about yourself. So complete the following sentence. Today, I'm an awesome human because. And I actually want you to, if you're here with us live, please put your answer in chat. It's super inspiring for everyone and me. You know, I love to see your answers. If you are on the go, you can just say it to yourself. Today, I'm an awesome human because. And I remind you about this every time we get together. Your brain is fantastic at pointing out all the things about you that it thinks are wrong. I'm putting quotation marks for everyone listening. Our brain has a negativity bias. Our brain loves to focus on things that are negative, not quite enough, on lack of something. And that lens applies to ourselves. And so we have to practice countering that. We have to practice our inner appreciator. And since I'm a science geek, I always like to geek out on you guys. I want to tell you that appreciating yourself, for any of you for whom that feels weird, and I know it feels weird for many people. I do this with my audiences when I'm on stage and people say it feels weird. When you appreciate yourself, you're more likely to appreciate others. When you appreciate things about yourself, you actually have greater discipline and motivation to improve things you want to improve. And talking to yourself in a positive way, like saying something kind about yourself, actually increases resilience, reduces stress. It gives you energy to do all the things you want to do. On the flip side, talking to yourself in a negative way, like our brain loves to do, increases stress, increases anxiety, reduces your ability to stick to things that you want to stick to. So that's my geek out science moment for today. Again, welcome everyone. I love my chat exploding when I ask you to do this. You're all fantastic. I'm going to read a few of these. I love reading a few of these every time. And I always tell you, I pick them randomly. Sorry if I don't read yours. There's too many because I want to dive into our amazing conversation today, but I'm going to read a few. All right. Today, I'm an awesome human because I'm giving myself the rest of the day to rest. Yeah, Joanne, sometimes we got to do that. Today, I'm an awesome human because I've been taking care of my neighbor. That's so kind. Woo, they're coming in so fast, you guys. Today, I'm an awesome human because I made progress in changing my negative thought patterns. Can we all give it up for Cheryl? We can all use that. Fantastic. I'm an awesome human because I'm becoming a better version of myself. Today, I'm an awesome human because I've expressed gratitude via an old-fashioned handwritten thank you note to a friend for all the things she did to celebrate my birthday. How wonderful is that? I got a thank you card from one of our awesome human community members earlier this week with a little holiday gift. And it was like the greatest joy because I don't know, I love real mail, good real mail, not like stuff that collects in your mailbox. All right. Today, I'm an awesome human. They're flying because I celebrated my 36th wedding anniversary. Amazing. Because today I'm an awesome human because I just put down my mouse so I can be here now. I hope it's your computer mouse or maybe it's a pet mouse. Thank you for sharing, everyone. I always love to read some of these to encourage you to remember something wonderful about yourself. And I always tell you, don't wait for the podcast live to do this practice. Do this every day. This is how we should begin the day. All right. Before we dive into our amazing conversation with Alicia Reiner, whom all of you know, I got so many replies to my email when I shared she would be our guest. People said, oh my God, she's that amazing person on who plays a not very amazing person on Orange is the New Black. She's so much more than that. We'll talk about all that. But one thing I want to tell you all before we dive in, because I always want to make sure that this community is up to date on all my announcements. So a couple of things. First of all, are any of you having double vision? Because I was really cold, but I am wearing, you guys love when I wear my art. I'm wearing the painting that is behind me. How about that? And I'm going to, when Alicia joins, I'll stand up, I'll show it to you. However, it connects to two exciting announcements that I want you to be aware of. First of all, I mentioned this in my weekly email this week. I am in the final stretches, we're almost there with my team, putting together and launching my signature course. It'll launch in January. It is called the Emotional Fitness Boost. It is all the things I have learned and all the science and all the practices about how to boost your emotional fitness, how to help you thrive, how to shift from struggle and from burnout and into beginning a new chapter of your life that is one of thriving and well-being. I'm incredibly excited to share it with you. I'm going to put a link in chat to the wait list. You should go and click on it and it'll be in the show notes, of course, and get on the wait list. The wait list will be the first to hear about when the course launches and we'll also have super special bonuses that are only available to those on the wait list. Again, the course is the Emotional Fitness Boost. I cannot wait to share it with you. It'll be launching in January. And the other announcement, which is connected to the artfulness, many of you have been asking for, some of you for years. I am finally launching my gift shop. It'll have some of my art sweatshirts on it. It'll have some awesome human goodies on it, like the awesome human hoodie and mugs and notebooks you've all been asking for. That is coming probably next week. So make sure that you are, I think all of you probably are on my email list, but get excited. It is coming just in time for the holidays, or almost just in time for the holidays. All right. Those are my announcements. I'm going to shut up and invite our amazing guest. I'm going to spotlight her. Doo-doo. All right, here we go. Alicia, once you put your camera on, I can spotlight you. There she is. Brilliant. And your mic. All right, there she is.
Good.
Alicia Reiner, welcome to the Awesome Human Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It is so fun to meet you.
It's so fun to meet you. I feel like you're like a sister from another life.
I said that to Avi, my husband, this morning. He said, Alicia's on the podcast today, right? Like I'm sure watching Mia, my daughter, is like, I think she thinks I'm the coolest person ever because I get to interview. She was obsessed with Orange is the New Black. Aww. So thank you for making me so cool, because she was like, no way.
It's so funny. My daughter is about to be 15 and she's like, Mom, can I finally watch it? And I'm like,
I think so. I think Mia watched it when she was 16. Okay. Yeah. But you do. Alicia and I met on Instagram. Alicia, can I ask you before we dive in? There's so many questions I want to ask you, but I do feel like we've known each other our whole life, even though we haven't. Alicia pinged me to ask about the Awesome Human Journal for her daughter. Alicia, where did you hear about that? Do you remember?
I think it must have been another podcast that you were on.
Tammy Simon from Sounds True. Yeah, exactly. There we go. Yeah. Yep. So that's how we connected. And then we just, I'm coming to see your play next weekend. And oh my God, she's got the journal. Yes. She's so got great. The journal.
So when I was a little human, I loved Sark. Do you know Sark?
Oh. Do I know
Sark? It has like a very Sark quality, which Sark was like one of my heroes.
That's like, let me take in that compliment. Do I know Sark? I have like the Sark collection, not upstairs. Yeah. I'd show it to you. So all our listeners, do you know Sark? Sark is this amazing creative spirit. She is an artist and an author, and she's created these incredible like life playful books and journals, of which I probably have everyone. Okay, we have Sark fans in the audience. I love it. So for Alicia to say that my journal,
it's like if Sark and Byron Katie had a baby, you're their baby.
I think we're done now. We're going to conclude the podcast right here. That's my high moment for the week. Thanks, everyone. No, I'm just kidding. that is a giant compliment. All right. Alicia, I have so many things I want to ask you, but I just want to tell everyone, you know, we all like bitch about social media a lot. And I do too. Like you've all heard me say, I love Instagram and LinkedIn, but lately the algorithm, whatever. But I just want to like, this is one of, I was saying this to my husband, Avi, like, this is why I love social media is when you take the time to connect to human beings on it as human beings, like you gain these like sisters you never had or friends. So, and I just want to tell everyone, Alicia, I feel like you are like the human version of sunshine. And I actually want to begin by, in your Instagram bio, it says, cultivating hope despite current planetary conditions. Okay, just talk about that.
The current planetary conditions are pretty bleak, you know? It's a moment. I was listening to something yesterday and actually reading something, and they were like, instead of being a Coke dealer, be a hope dealer. And I'm like, yes, that's what it's all about for me. And for me, hope just means bringing a glimmer of light into the darkness, you know, and it is exactly what you talk about. Our brains have a negativity bias, but also negativity sells. And I think that's extraordinarily important to talk about. Capitalism is built on negativity bias, like, because the more negative we are taught, the more we want shit. Like, that's the bottom line. The more we're like, oh, I'm not okay, so I need to buy that thing or do that thing or go on Instagram or get that hit to feel like I'm okay. Mm. And capitalism runs on negativity bias. Mm. Like, I didn't realize
that. So does our media. I mean, you know, talk about the news. People always ask me, you know, is that why the negative news is always at the top of everything? 100%. It's not like the media doesn't know we have this bias. They have it too. So yes, we're surrounded by it.
And it's like I'm always looking for what can we look forward to? What is the positive in this moment? You know, today I read Richard Branson just flew the first flight with non-fossil fuels, with all like regenerative fuels that was like used cooking oil and this new fuel stuff that sounds so, and the science geek I am, I'm like, yes, let's focus on that. Like, let's focus on the things that we are doing, the scientific, amazing things that are happening. Because for every negative thing, there is 100 positive ones. And for me, in reference to social media, you know, social media can be incredibly dangerous. I really believe that having boundary for myself around it is really deeply important. As I mentioned, I have an almost 15-year-old who has chosen not to be on it one day at a time. And I'm really freaking happy about that because she has a beautiful, happy spirit. And I think part of that is that she's not in that compare and despair on a daily basis. So if you do choose it, I think it's really important to create boundary for yourself around it and only look for the good. Like, start with that vision. And only look for people like you who inspire you, who make you feel good. And people who don't make you feel good, don't follow them. And the algorithm now does show you things that you don't want to see and that people that you're not following. So every time you have to click on only people I follow, because otherwise it's going to give you a whole bunch of
whole different worlds.
Yeah.
You know what I love about what you're saying, and we're so aligned on that, like what you're talking about, first of all, I have to repeat the quote that you said, because someone just put this in chat, you know, be the hope dealer, sharing glimmering light, like let's all be hope dealers. I'm going to, I think that's so powerful. I just want to touch on two things. One is, I think what you just talked about, like you choose to look for the good. It is a choice we all have. You know, it took me a really long time in my life to understand that. I didn't practice that choice until I went through a really horrible burnout and breakdown 8 years ago, because I come from, you know, I'm a Russian refugee. I'm, you know, like Jews in Russia were persecuted. Like I come in, my family is an incredibly loving family, but you didn't focus on the good. There was a lot of bad.
You came to it legitimately.
I did. However, I think it's such a, thank you for calling that out, because sure, we all have reasons. I'm not special. Oh. The facts I just said are special. We all have challenges, right? But for a lot of my life, until my burnout, I used that as an excuse to not look for the good, right? And so I just love what you're saying. And that to me is I look at hope as a practice. I look at a lot of things as a practice. I look at joy as a practice, hope. It is that practice of choosing to look for the good. And I love how you talk about it.
And I also think your story is in particularly relevant and deep to me, because you were very busy trying to bring hope in a way, you know, trying to bring happiness. And the fact that we all can hide out like our own heart, even when we're sort of trying to do good, is a very important tale. And like, you know, I guess what do they say? I don't want to say allegory, but a cautionary tale, right? Yeah. Like yours is a cautionary tale. Because we, every day, I think we have to check in with our own hearts. Mm. I think that's what's beautiful about the Awesome Human Journal, is every day we have to check in and be like, hey, baby love, how are you doing today? Like, how is your heart really? Mm. I'll share with you, you know, yesterday, my heart was in not great shape. Mm. I was really sad. And a big part of my life today is I don't try and figure it out. I don't try and go like, oh, am I in grief? Like, it's the holidays. Do I miss my dad? We just kind of had to miss a lot of holiday stuff because my husband got COVID, my daughter got COVID, I got the flu, whatever. Is it because of that? Like, is it because I'm doing a play about vets and a lot of people die in war? Like, and for me, for today, the why is not important. Mm. The most important thing is like, how would I treat my daughter if she said she was sad? I wouldn't look for the why, which ironically is what I was taught to do, was like, well, let's figure it out.
Exactly.
Let's figure it out and let's solve it, right? We got to solve this.
Yeah.
I don't think feelings actually work that way.
They don't. Like, can we geek out on the science? I do want to, because I was just talking to my daughter about this. My daughter, Mia, who's a neuroscience major. She's a sophomore in college. She's a neuroscience major.
I love geeking out
on that with her. But actually, just before that, because I do think it's important. You know, what you're talking about is practicing self-compassion, right? Like self-compassion, another thing I didn't understand until I burnt out, I thought self-compassion meant like, okay, I'm perfect. Everything is amazing about me. No, that is not self-compassion. Self-compassion is treating yourself like you would someone you love, like you said, your daughter, right? When our daughters, and for everyone listening, when your children or your partner or someone you love, when they tell you they're sad, do you go, why are you sad? Let's figure out. I hope you don't do that, because we don't do that. We want to support. And I think it's such a beautiful thing, Alicia, when our feelings come up, and this is so the neuroscience. So, you know, when we feel a feeling and then we kind of articulate it, our brain is about a quarter of a second behind. Mm. So we have a feeling and then our brain explains it to us. And it's explaining, it's trying its best. It's going based on previous patterns or what it knows or the negativity bias, but the feelings just arise. And, you know, I'm with you. I always used to have this tendency of like, why do I feel this way? It is the weekend and it's Sunday and it's sunny. Why do I feel like crap? You know, all this stuff. And I think actually like neuroscience tells us we can't really know. Feelings arise. I mean, and so the other thing I think is important to realize about us multidimensional human beings, like the amount of light, the colors you're looking at, the weather, the temperature, it all affects how you
feel.
Full moon. Thank you. It was yesterday, right? Like it all affects how we feel. And so it's not a linear, oh, I feel sad because it's, I feel sad. How can I support myself? It's, I feel X, what can I do to support myself? And I love the way you talked. It's like what we would say to our daughter. Can I ask you, and that, you know, we're talking about this and I asked, so I just want to say, so I ask all my guests to tell me if there's any questions they want me to ask them. And people send me all kinds of wonderful questions. I'm a really straight shooter, and you guys should all know that. Alicia, you sent me my three favorite questions this year. These are my three favorite questions. I think it says a lot about you. And one of them actually is connected to what we're doing. So you've talked about hope. One of the things that one of your questions was, and you used a word that my audience will know I love to use, when have you felt most alive this year? And I want you to talk about that, because for me, aliveness is this combination of hope and joy and meaning and purpose and thriving. Like that is the thing. So I want you to talk about that. When have you felt most alive this year? And talk to us about like what aliveness means to you.
Sure. Wow. Happily. Well, I will start by saying one of the things that I'm learning, like we all have these fantasies of like the destination, right? Like you write the book and it's like, okay, I want the book to be published, but we don't think about the joy and the process of it. And also the joy, I imagine, for you of when someone says, oh my God, thank you, this saved my life. So
greatest joy. Yep.
The more I'm on this planet, the more I'm like, dude, it's the process. For me, and like, I hope everybody gets that. So for me, some of the processes of this, like that have made me feel so alive, or being in rehearsal, not even being on stage, but like being in rehearsal and discovering like who this character is and what this world is. Yes, being on stage too, there's a deep aliveness. I think that's why I'm an actor, that happens on stage, that's magical, because you're communicating with the people you're acting with and with the audience. And especially when you're telling a story that feels on purpose to you. So for me in this moment, for example, ironically, right before this play, I did a play about American Jews, which felt very, very powerful. And it was before the war, and it was very, ESP, like woo-woo about this moment. Really, really, really nutty. But that was an extraordinary experience. And this play that I'm doing now is all about veterans and soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq. And it's all actual words of actual soldiers, which is just so, so powerful. Like it feels incredibly powerful to do. So that's one of the places that I feel incredibly alive. Another thing is when I'm developing my own work, you know, like I have three TV shows and a movie in development. And when I'm having.
Wow, you're such a slacker, Alicia. I didn't know you were such a slacker. I would have never invited you on the show. I mean, geez, I want to talk to people who are out and doing things. Did you just say three TV shows and a movie? That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. Everyone, I hope you're going like, oh my God, can't she do something? I mean, only three TV shows? I don't know, Alicia. Wait, can you give us a sneak peek? Because is there anything really exciting?
Yes. Well, the movie, God willing, we're going to shoot this summer. And it is an unlikely buddy comedy between an eighth grade science whiz and an NBA player.
Whoa, cool.
Even science. And really, it's a Trojan horse for how the scientific community, specifically in America, has failed the Black community. So it's very funny, it's very heartwarming, it's very beautiful, and it also talks about medical racism and scientific racism, which is deeply important for me to talk about. So I love this project so much. Every time we have meetings about it, and our actual NBA player, Andre Drummond, who plays for the Bulls, was in town this weekend, and it like thrills me beyond measure to see my folks and like brainstorm about our next steps. We have an incredible director named Kelly Park.
Can I ask you a question? Because I think this, I want to ask you a question because this really ties into what you were just talking about. Feeling aliveness in the process. I think that's like one of the greatest challenges for us humans. Whatever it is we're doing, something creative like what you and I do, or like working like my husband Avi, he works at Amazon. He is on the tech side, like, but it's the same thing. Like he's working on this project. It's like, okay, when we launch this project, right? This is how the brain works, by the way. Again, the brain gets in the way. It's very forward-looking, achievement-oriented. Yeah. So I just want to pause on this kind of aliveness in the process. So I want to ask you, you know, like, let's pick one of the projects, this movie that you're working on. When you're developing your work and you're feeling that sense of aliveness, what about self-doubt? Because that's the other thing that loves to fly in. Can you talk about that as an actor, whatever, producer, whatever it is?
I will say two things about that. One is, I think, like everything that you teach, we have to practice cultivating falling in love with the process. That is something we are not taught about, you know, back to capitalism, back to
write this down in chat.
Is we have to cultivate falling in love with the process. It is like meditation, like anything you want to learn, it is something to learn. I'm going to use the example of language. I believe in language and how we language our lives is really, really important.
Yes.
For a very, very, very long time, I use the word I work. Like I work so hard. I work so hard. I'm working really hard at this. And I've cultivated stopping using that word and instead using the word cultivate. Because instead of saying I'm working on enjoying the process, that doesn't sound as delicious as I'm cultivating enjoying the process more, right?
Ooh,
so
I'm a big fan
of like how we language our lives.
Yes, giant.
Being our own storyteller, right?
One of the billion ways that we're connected. I think words we use dramatically impact our experience of whatever it is, and how we feel, you know, just jumping in there. One thing, you know, I spent 20 years in tech and finance and five startups, you know, intense world in a different way. But after I burnt out, I started becoming aware of the language I had been using, just like simple, very simple things like, all right, guys, let's grind it out. You know, like, all right, we're just gonna like hustle through this, or like, all right, let's just like get through the day. And I was like, hang on, if I'm grinding it out and hustling and getting through the day, how could I possibly expect myself to feel good if that is how I'm describing? And we didn't do it in negative ways. That was just the lexicon. And
exactly.
it's a giant reminder that the words we use, the narrative, it determines how we see our lives. So now I was like, wait, I see my days as like, okay, let's grind it out. Let's just get through it. How am I supposed to enjoy my day or enjoy cultivating anything if that's what I'm doing? And I started to become really aware. So I think it's such an important point.
It's, and I, you know, I love looking for language that's not fight, work, you know, battle, right?
Resistance. Like exactly. What you're talking about, these are exactly. Words. That's how, kind of how, and it's something I want to talk more about this actually in my work, because it's something I really pay attention to. Like the word I'm using or the sentences, whatever, are they causing resistance or are they causing enthusiasm? Because that for me is like the two states. So, you know, I asked you about self-doubt, like when I'm working, like I'm just starting my next book, right? It's a giant undertaking. I'm sure like for you, it's like, there's a lot of aliveness and cultivating. There's also just a lot of, oh my God, I can't do this. This will never work. You know, all the things. And I'm really aware of like, when I sit down, like I'm finishing a piece of the proposal that my publisher asked me to clarify. And I put it on my to-do list. I want to get really specific about this. And what I wrote on my to-do list first was, I want to get this right. I wrote, figure out the audience piece. Okay. And then I looked at it the next day and I was like, no, that does not bring me enthusiasm. That puts me in opposition. Like somehow my publisher is. So I said, no, I took it off my to-do list and I wrote a new thing, same thing. I still need to do it. And I wrote, think more about who will love this book. Boom. Ooh,
so much better. So
I'm now in enthusiasm. Now yep. I'm like, ooh,
yep.
Ooh.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think that's the core of it, right?
And I will say, in reference to my self-doubt, in reference to the projects we were just talking about, a huge piece of it for me is I have partners. And that, for me, having partnership, collaborating with people, keeps my flame alive and less doubtful. When I'm alone, because my brain is my biggest critic, the more I'm alone, the more in trouble I am. When I'm creative by myself, it doesn't work for me that well. I can make shit happen. Like, as I said, I'm a hard worker and I can do it. And I've found that I am in much more joy and and enthusiasm when I have partners. Having said that, when I'm having a bad day, part of my truth that when I'm having a bad day, I don't go on Instagram and I don't like tell strangers, oh my God, I'm so sad. Like that doesn't work for me. That is useless for this human, for this awesome human. But I will tell my partners, hey, I'm feeling a little vulnerable today. I'm feeling a little not enough. I'm telling you my feelings so that if I seem a little off, you don't take it personally. And so that you know where I'm coming from. And
Alicia, you're like this living, giantly bright representation of like, not representation, actualization of so many things that I teach, like what you just described, I think is, so I have this concept that I talk about, I think it's in my book. I talk about it when I do like speaking and leadership work, that we all have this emotional whiteboard, right? And I actually want you and everyone else to think about it. Like in front of you, there's this whiteboard and how you feel in this moment is written on it. We cannot hide our feelings. I used to think I had the greatest poker face and that nobody knew I was struggling. Human beings, one of the things we're best at is sensing each other's emotions because that's how we determine is the person safe or not, right? So on this emotional whiteboard, how you feel in this moment is written, except people see it through a little bit fuzzy glasses. So you might be like, if I'm having a really bad day and I'm doing this interview, Alicia might be like, wow, Natalie's not as friendly as I thought she would be, or she seems more reserved, whereas maybe my emotional whiteboard, like, wow, I had a really tough morning or didn't sleep well. And so what you're talking about is so powerful because when we acknowledge what's on our emotional whiteboard to others, first, we have to acknowledge it to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's the checking in. But when we acknowledge it to others, it does two things. One, we don't have to try and pretend, which is very, very hard. Pretending you feel good when you don't is called surface acting. It's a huge drain. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But also, the other people don't have to be guessing, as you said. And I find, and again, this was a giant thing that I had to cultivate, to use your word. I used to really think that I had to show up with a big smile to everybody in my world and lead a team, and nobody knew how I really felt. But it also creates so much more genuine human connection that you actually don't feel alone and you feel supported. And so I think it's such a giant thing that you're talking about, of it also helps with self-doubt, because then you don't feel alone. I think the hardest thing about self-doubt is when we marinate in it by ourselves.
Totally. Because we start believing the lies. It's funny. We all know that expression. I'm sure you've said it. And the brain is a meaning-making machine. But I like to add the PS, which is sometimes it just makes mean. Like sometimes the meaning it makes is mean. Mm. And that's the goal, is like, okay, when can I catch that it's just making mean? Mm. And on days like yesterday, when I'm sad, I know my brain is going to lie to me. And I'm like, well, I cannot believe a word of that name from that. You know,
I love that. Okay. Well, since we're talking about the mean brain, I have to ask you, you know, you are an actor, and that must come with a bunch of rejection in whatever form. And I always, you know, I've had a chance to interview other actors and performers in different ways. And I'm not an actor, but I am a creator. So I face rejection in every way. Right. So I always want to ask, I'm very curious, like what, you've shared some of it already, like not believing the mean, but how do you approach that, right? How do you continue to maintain, cultivate, I'm just going to stick to your word, I love it, cultivate hope, not just amidst planetary conditions, but amidst rejection or people judging your work negatively?
So it's so funny. I have trained my brain so well that every time someone says like, oh, you face so much rejection, I'm like, really? Oh, I don't see it that way. Huh, that's so interesting. Now, what I can recognize is disappointment.
Mm.
There is disappointment sometimes. Mm. If you fall in love with a role, yeah, it's disappointing if you don't get it. So to me, the difference between disappointment and rejection, and I didn't really put those words together till this second. Like, I didn't realize that till this second.
Mm.
I have never used that language before, but that's my truth, is like, I don't see it as rejection, because I do believe if I don't get a role, it's not meant to be my role. Like, I really, really, really believe that. Doesn't mean I'm not disappointed sometimes.
Of course, of course.
But it's like, I've been on the planet long enough to be like, oh, they had a different vision. My vision, of course, is me in that role. But they had a different vision. And a great example, you know, with Orange is the New Black, I first auditioned for Alex, which is Piper's, like, you know, Laura Prepon played that role. And I got, quote unquote, rejected and was heartbroken because I loved the script. And then I forgot about it. And then I auditioned to play her best friend, and I didn't get it, and I was heartbroken. And then they offered me this, like, two-line role of Fig, which ended up being 7 seasons and such a more interesting arc for me, for this awesome human, like what this human wanted to talk about. I got to talk about incarceration. I got to talk about the immigration crisis. Like, this human loves to create art that evolves culture, and to be part of that storytelling in general about incarceration, about like looking at the LGBTQ plus like population, specifically trans humans, and how awesome they are. It was such extraordinary opportunity to be part of that storytelling. And then my character also got to talk about immigration, the industrial prison complex, abortion legalities, like all of the things that I care deeply about. Mm. So you never know what the universe has planned for you. And one of the things that I always try and remember, and I do believe this is true of acting, but also any profession, every time you put yourself out there, whatever it is, you are creating new relationships, but you're also, I believe, on a like energetic level, putting yourself out there and creating more space in like sort of fairy dust. My daughter, who's a big science geek, this is the moment she'd like roll her eyes, because I'd be like, it's physics. And she's like, no, it's not. But I do believe, you know, in the physics of action and reaction. Mm. And every time we take action and we audition or we whatever, look, I have these TV shows and this movie in development. I've produced two very, very successful movies. I've also had projects that didn't get off the ground. And it all happens. And to me, it's back to that process thing.
I was just going to say, so it's kind of
the process, because you never know what's going to happen. And you could drop dead tomorrow too. It's like, you may as well love the process today. Because the other thing I really always love to talk about is, yes, it is so much fun winning awards. I love winning awards. I love it. Awards mostly because a lot of times it leads to more work, right? Mm. Like that's the other cool thing, and it leads to more opportunity. But I will tell you, if you ask me, would you prefer to be in a rehearsal room or like on a set and making shit? Or would you prefer to be at an award ceremony? I'll pick set or developing a new TV series or making over that magical day any day of the week. Like, the awards are awesome. I am not saying they're not. I love it all.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, we get lost. It's back to the goal, right? We get lost in the goal. And, you know, it's interesting, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, some of the things, like, I talk about this every time I publish a book, and I've done a bunch now. So I realize it's a pattern. And anytime, like, my book comes out, I wonder if you experience this too, when like a play launches or a series, like the next day or the next week, I feel down.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time it happened, I was like, okay, what's happening? Like, and then it just keeps happening. And I think, I mean, there's again, the neuroscience reason, the modern science reason, we lose the dopamine. Your brain is producing dopamine when you're working towards a goal. As soon as you achieve your goal, your brain stops producing dopamine. And we all know dopamine makes us feel good, among many other things. So part of it is that, but I think we're much bigger than our brain, and there's so many other things. And I think a big part of it is that, like, the process is now gone, and all I have is like the outcome, right? And it's like not enough to fill. So I've been thinking about that. Can I ask you a slight jump, but not really, because to me it's all connected. So my next book is, I'm going to try to do something big. I'm going to try to redefine success. And I'll just spill it here. I haven't talked about it publicly to too many people, but we think of success as something we achieve, right? Different things we want to achieve, but we think of success as something we achieve. And I think, and this is the working title of the book, is success is what you give. And success, in my definition, is uncovering your unique gifts and sharing them in the service of others in ways that also honor your well-being and your joy. So that's my definition of success, is uncover your unique gifts, share them in the service of others in ways that honor your well-being and joy. And so I've been thinking, and it kind of all kind of came together from all the different strands of my work, because I realized, to your point, when I feel most successful, like you said it before, when I hear from an awesome human who's like, you know, your book changed my life, or I was struggling with something and your email really helped me, or, you know, one of the things I wrote about in the proposal of the book is, I remember when my first book came out, Happier Now, came out in 2018. I was just like starting this path of my career, you know, speaking, et cetera. And I was in Toronto doing a workshop, and me and my little team decided we should do a book signing at a bookstore there. So there was, it was a little last minute, but there was a lot of, you know, organization. And I get there and there's no one there. Nobody there showed up to my book signing except one person. And his name is Darren. And I had connected with him before. He emailed to say how much the Happier app that I had found it and my book, how much it like saved his life and changed his life. So he was the only one who came, and we decided to go get coffee. And we're sitting there, and I'll never forget the moment. He looks at me, he says, "Natalie, I just need to say this to you personally. You and your work saved my life. I was in an absolutely horrible place. I was at a lowest point in my life. And by practicing what you've taught me, by practicing gratitude and self-compassion, acceptance, I feel like I have another chance for life." And Darren and I have stayed in touch. I can't wait for him to read this. He's also my other book. But I remember I was walking back to my hotel after that. And so it was pouring rain. It's like a great movie scene, Alicia. Pouring rain. I just went to a book signing.
I want to play you in the movie scene of this.
Please do. You know, nobody came to my book signings. My first book, no one showed up. I mean, that's like just really hard, except one person. I'm in this place. And I remember I was like skipping because I felt the greatest ever. That was an incredibly successful moment because I gave something of my unique gifts in the service of this other human. So a very long-winded question together with a story, but I'd love to hear how you think about success.
You know, for me, I love that story ever so much. For me, I do believe it's very similar to you. I love creating art that helps evolve culture and bring more love onto the planet. Like, what does it look like to be of love and service every day? And keeping it simple, like keeping it as simple as that. And it's, I have huge dreams, like huge dreams. And I'm not saying any of them are bad or wrong. Like, I love my big dreams, just like I love my big awards. And when I think about what are some of the moments where I felt the most successful, I do think about moments like what you just shared. Mm-hmm. Before I made my two features, I made a tiny short film called Speed Grieving when my dad died very suddenly of cancer. He was 55 and we only had 10 days. Like, it was very, very fast. And I didn't know what to do afterwards. As I walked through my grief, I was shocked by how people were unable to talk about grief and loss and so afraid of talking about death and aging and all the things. And so I made this short film called Speed Grieving. I worked with 10 grief counselors and social workers to create a discussion guide that went with it. We went to a ton of festivals, and now it's shown in cancer support communities all over the country.
That's so great.
If you don't know, the cancer support community is the only organization, a nonprofit, that provides free social, emotional, and psychological support for people with cancer, their friends and families. Mm-hmm. So it's like this clubhouse and this amazing organization that does that. And I still work with them on a regular basis. So two things happened with that film. One is one of the first festivals we went to, and the story is about this young woman who's losing her dad. This little old man came up to me after a screening and said, "I haven't been able to grieve my wife's death. Like, this is the first time I've cried for her watching this movie. Thank you so much for making this movie." And I'll never forget that. And the second thing that happened a year ago was I was speaking at a cancer support community, like big benefit. And a woman came up to me and said, I watched your movie at a cancer support community. And I had lost my husband very recently. And it made me change my life. And I now work at the cancer support community. And it's the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. Yeah. And those are from like this tiny little short movie that I made. Not the big things that got all the big awards and all the things. And yes, I mean, Equity that I made, which was the first ever female driven Wall Street movie I made, because we don't talk about women in the workplace. And
Avi and I watched it this weekend. Everyone should watch it. It was so fun. It was, I want to say it's so fun to watch. It was fun because I was going, Alicia, Alicia. Okay. Every time she was on screen. But as I just want to give a plug for that, because as someone, so I spent 10 years in finance and venture capital as the only woman in the firm at 25. So like all the things as I was like all the words. So I just want to highly recommend it. Also really well acted, Equity. You may continue now as I rudely interrupted you.
I love it. And like my other movie, Egg, was about choosing to be childless by choice, which I think we don't talk about it as society. So I love talking about the things we're afraid to talk about. And I love creating spaces where people can talk about the things we're afraid to talk about, be it grief, being childless, whatever it is, and creating loving support around that.
I love that. I forgot to ask, sorry, before you, so we only have a few minutes left. I forgot to tell you guys, but you're all familiar. If you have questions you want me to ask Alicia, you can always pop them into Q&A and I'll always ask them. I have a note for myself in bold that I must ask you the question for Mia. She was like, okay, mom, I said, Mia, is there anything you want me to ask Alicia? And she was like, ooh, I get to ask a question. So I do have to ask it before wrap up. So Mia is like a giant Orange is the New Black fan. As I said, she thinks I am the coolest human in the world right now that I get to interview. I loved her question. You know, like when our kids say something and you're like, whoa, that's so cool. She said, all right, I wrote it down. How did it feel to play someone who doesn't seem like a very nice person or very okay with themselves person, while you seemingly are so different? And I want to just tell you, when she asked this question, we got into this whole conversation. My parents were also over. And my dad, who is super close with my parents, my dad is a giant brain Russian scientist, like double PhD, all the things, who also acted in community theater in Russia, like ridiculously talented actor and poet. And so he and Mia got into this whole discussion of, he was like, you know, I actually found it was easier to play characters who were different from me than the same. So I just, tell us about that. And then I'll be even cooler.
I love your question, Mia. Here's my truth about that. When I'm playing someone, I never see them as a villain or bad or anything like that. I just look at how we're similar and what are their vulnerabilities and their fears and their doubts and how they're using these defense mechanisms that are not very loving to experience sometimes, right? So that's really how, like, I never saw Fig as bad. Like, I think she thinks she's awesome. She kind of doesn't, but she does. Do you know what I mean? And she's just doing the best she can. And she kind of feels like, I mean, I wrote a whole backstory for her. She really wanted to be a lawyer and she was dyslexic and she couldn't pass the bar. She tried 4 times and she ended up in this prison, and she was working her way up. But here's the truth about Fig. She just found everybody a little stupid. You know, she herself is dyslexic, so has her own issues that she can't deal with. Like, she doesn't want to admit her own challenges.
Yeah.
She sort of just sees everybody else as stupid because she can't admit, like, that she has her own challenges, and that they all talk way too slow. And that's sort of how I experienced her. But does she have a big heart? Yeah, because we all have a big heart. Mm. And I felt so grateful that they gave me the trajectory to actually be able to see glimmers of that heart over the seven seasons, because certainly in the beginning you don't. And I think one of the biggest gifts for me about being an artist and being an actor is I don't see anyone as a villain on this planet. Mm-hmm. Everybody on this planet is doing the best they can. And a lot of people just have a lot of stuff that they've been taught, that they've been, I don't want to say brainwashed with, but like have grew up believing. And they have a lot of fear, they have a lot of doubt. And sometimes people lead with that fear or that doubt. Mm. And I think one of the gifts for me about being an artist is the deep compassion for every human.
Mm. That's beautiful.
I truly don't think there's evil people.
That's a beautiful way to think about it. Alicia, I think we could talk for roughly 17 more hours. I plan to make sure we do that in some format.
Yes.
I'm so grateful for the hope and light that you bring into the world, and specifically for the hope and light that you just brought to all of these awesome humans and thousands more who are going to listen as a podcast and watch the recording. I think one of the things, you know, I do this because I want to share awesome humans with my community. But the biggest gift for me is I always get a gift. And I just, the hope that you project and like the aliveness that you are is a giant gift to me. And I think is like the biggest gift to everyone here. So thank you for being, and thank you for being you. And thank you for being here and for making time in your super crazy busy schedule. And thank you, all of your awesome humans who are flooding our screen with hearts and applause. And
I think the last thing that I didn't talk about, and this is another place that I feel the most alive, is firefighting. And, you know, we could have a whole other talk about that, but I do believe I'm a volunteer fire person, and I feel most alive when I am of service. And I love it so deeply much because it is very much anonymous service. Like, people have no idea it's me. They don't like it's, I get to be very anonymous.
Yeah.
And I so deeply believe in service and in service to our communities. And I think it really is the thing that could transform our world on this planet today. So whatever you feel called, however you feel called to be of service to your community, go do that thing. That's, you know, the one thing that I really want to leave people with.
What a beautiful thing to say. Thank you for you. Thank you, awesome humans, for being and for being here and for making time for yourselves to listen, to join live, to listen later. Alicia, I can't wait to see. I'm going to New York this weekend, everyone. We have a wedding and I get to go see Alicia's play on Saturday and maybe give her a hug. That's so exciting. I will share photos if we connect on social. Alicia, thank you. You're a giant bright light in the world. I'm so grateful to know you. Everyone.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
All right, awesome humans. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Awesome Human Podcast. And I would love to know what resonated. What questions do you have? What are you excited to practice? So send us an email to team@happier.com. And please rest assured, if you send an email that you'd love for me to read, I will always get it in my inbox. My team will send it to me. Let's stay in touch so you can keep practicing skills to help you struggle less and thrive more in work and life. The best way to do it is to go to happier.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. I promise you, I would never send you spam. It's just more practices, skills, and stories to help you embrace your inner awesome human. I can't wait to see you next week.